Father God, we exalt that name above all names, that name of Jesus. And Father, as we approach the Word of God, our desire is that He, Jesus, be exalted, that He be seen in all that we do. Father God, I thank You for hearts that are hungry for the Word of God, Father, that You will anoint not only myself as I speak, but also us as we receive the Word of God. Father, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the one who leads us and guides us in truth. I thank You that our hearts are like good ground, ready to receive the good seed of God's Word. And as that Word is watered, it's going to become fruitful in our lives. And I believe nothing is going to hinder the going forth of the receiving of Your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would. And hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a set of notes with today's date, September 5th, 2010, at the lower left-hand corner of your notes. Today, we're going to be talking about principles for a successful work, successful job, etc. And so if you did not receive a set of notes when you came in this morning, if you raise your hand up real high, we got Bree up here. We don't leave her out. Anybody else? Rhonda does not have a set of notes, and so leave your hands up, and they'll get to you. Anybody else did not get a set of notes this morning? All right, we're going to begin then by opening our Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you have a Bible with you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I felt as I was preparing and just pondering, thinking about what the Lord might want me to share this morning. I know we started a new series last week pertaining to relationships and what have you, but I felt, I want the majority of the congregation to get in on that series on biblical relationships, and knowing that many would be gone today, I thought, you know what, I believe I would be able to minister on this area of work. It is Labor Day, and I just thought it would bless you and encourage you today, and also recognize the fact that there are young people especially in our midst, and if they're not here today, they can get this information from others or what have you, that really need to know some things about how to determine what God wants them to do in their life. Amen? A lot of kids, young people today, are in confusion and wondering, what am I going to do? They don't have a vision for their life and goals for their life and what have you, and hopefully some things that are said today are going to help along that line, and it'll help us all, no matter what stage of life we're in. There may be older people looking to fulfill some dream that they had in their life this morning, and yet they think, well, I'm too old to do it. I want you to know you're never too old to do it. If God's putting it in your heart, if it's the will of God, don't let anybody steal your dream. Amen? And so I want to share a number of things that I think will be something for everybody. There's going to be something for everybody in this thing today. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And beginning with verse 1, it reads this way. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Now, obviously, this is speaking to Israel primarily, but there's application for the church today as well. As we go and we skip now, He's talking about obeying His Word, obeying the Word of God. Now, go to verse 8 to save time. All the scriptures in between are good, but we got to save some time here. Notice verse 8, the promise to those who obey God, that follow His Word. He said the Lord, in verse 8, will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. Setting your hand implies this idea of work, of your employment, of what you are going about doing. He says again that the Lord will what? He will cause everything that you set your hand to be blessed, basically, is what He said. And He'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you if you keep the commandments or the word of God, the word of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord, verse 11, the Lord will grant you plenty. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Now, you may not want any livestock. I don't want a cow. I don't want any sheep. I don't want any of that. But it's talking about provision. Amen? It's talking about them and their custom, their culture. That was prosperity for them. Amen? And so it may not be prosperity for us necessarily, but He's talking about it and applies in this area of God providing, of God prospering us in whatever way that you might see that as, even in whatever you have set your hand to, whatever your work may be. Now, as it goes on, just a little bit more here in verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. I repeated some things, that's all right. In the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you His good treasure. Everybody say good treasure. God's not opposed to you being blessed materially, is he? Amen. He's opposed to us being possessed by material things in terms of being obsessed or whatever. But he's not against us being blessed because he wants to bless us to be a blessing to others, right? And so he's not against that. We see that throughout many scriptures in the Word of God. Going on with this then, again, verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. What's that talking about? Talking about your work. To bless all the work of your hand. That is a promise to those who follow him, that seek his face, that have him truly, if we apply it into the new covenant, as Lord of their lives, he promises to bless the work of your hand. You say, well, that's speaking to Israel. Can't apply to me. I submit to you that you and I, again, we must remember, you and I, according to Hebrews 8 and verse 6, have a better covenant than Israel had. Isn't that right? And so if that is a blessing, the blessing of the work of our hands for Israel is certainly a blessing and a promise for those on this side of the cross, on this side with a new covenant, a better covenant, under the blood and because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so first I want to submit to you this. You should believe God that the work of your hands are blessed. That God is going to prosper the work of your hands. No matter what it is, the world may say, well, your job can never be prosperous. Your job is over at this level or whatever. I submit to you, God is greater than what the world says about your job. And the job you have right now may be just preparatory for a job you're going to have down the line. Because God's going to equip you and prepare you for other things. But nevertheless, God will bless the work of your hands when you trust him and when you obey his word. Amen? Is everybody with me today? All right, now, just reading through verse 13, notice it says, as we go on again, it says, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. And so the condition for all of this is that we follow him, we obey him to the best of our ability. We do that which he desires for us to do. We do that which he has said in his word for us to do, which is a general thing. There's general things pertaining to his will for all of us. Every believer is to follow the general will of God written in his word. But then there's also the specific will of God that he has for you and I individually. Amen? Things that he has willed for you to do. And those things you have to determine by seeking him and praying and believing him for wisdom and guidance in life, which he is ever ready to give, by the way. Amen? He wants to guide you in your life. He wants to give you direction in your life. Remembering that all guidance in all direction that is subjective has always got to be in line with and never contradictory to the book called the Bible, though. Amen? Yes. Amen. And you know, a good example of that is God calls some people to be doctors, but not everybody to be a doctor. Amen? And I could never, I don't even like going to hospitals, you know. And so thank God, I'm not called to do that, etc. You know, some people are called to preach or to pastor or to evangelize in a full-time kind of way. Not everyone is, and that's okay. But those are examples of specific things, specific areas of God's will for certain people's lives that may not be for everybody, but yet everybody needs to seek God because he's got a specific will for you, whatever it may be. Amen? Is everybody doing all right today? All right. And of course, you know, we're talking about Labor Day. We're talking about work, etc. And it all applies to this kind of thing because you, many of you probably have yet to find out what God wants you to primarily or first and foremost set your hand to. Others, you are setting your hand to an area of work. And maybe you need to be encouraged today that God wants to bless the work of your hands. Others, you may need to have a little bit of adjustment as to how you handle your work or how your attitude is during your work. You've heard the expression that the attitude we have will often determine the altitude in which we fly. Isn't that right? Right. Amen. And so again, there's going to be a little something for everybody here today. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. And while you're turning there, let's read our quotes that we have in our notes today. Hopefully you didn't read ahead. You probably did. But that's all right. It's better when I say them. No, I'm kidding. But notice now, Labor Day. This is Roman numeral number 2 as you're turning to Genesis chapter 2. Labor Day is a glorious holiday because your child will be going back to school the next day. Well, or next week. It would have been called Independence Day, but that name was already taken. Isn't that right? Theodore Roosevelt, far and away, the best prize that life has to offer is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. The chance to work hard at work worth doing, Thomas Edison said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Maybe we ought to think of it more like an opportunity. Amen? An opportunity to just flourish, an opportunity to help other people, no matter what it is that you do one way or the other. I think it's safe to say no matter what anybody does for work, to one extent or another, and to one degree, now you are helping people. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, really, we all add to each other. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're working for a garbage place, you know, collecting garbage. I want you to know I'm grateful for my garbage men. How about you? Because my backyard would look pretty bad. Isn't that right? They are serving us, aren't they? They are helping us. No matter what we do, to one extent or another, we are doing it in order to be a help to other people, right? And we can find, depending upon our attitude, fulfillment in all of these things. Because if we know that that's what the Lord would have us do, at least at this point in time, then praise God, do it with all of our heart. Amen. And God will bless the work of our hands. Maybe you'll end up owning the garbage company eventually. Amen? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm trying to get across to you today? All right, now in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, notice what it says. It says this, very familiar to many of us. It says in verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, and saying concerning the eating and what have you, the thing I want to point out to you is he says in this that God put the man to work, basically, isn't it? And in your notes, notice now it says in letter A, Adam was commanded to dress and keep the garden. Now, I also want to submit to you two things about this in addition to what might be in your notes. First of all, God commanded Adam to work the garden before he ever fell into sin. And so work is not a result of the fall of man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A lot of people treat it that way. They think, well, if mankind had not fallen into sin, God, you know, this curse called work would have never happened. That is not true. God put man to work before he ever fell into sin. Amen? And not only that, and I submit this to you, young ladies, I want you to know this, that God gave Adam a job before he ever gave him a wife, and so never marry a man that doesn't have a job. And all, a lot of truth in that. Am I right or wrong? Amen. And so don't marry him if you don't get a job. I mean, and you know, really, you need to, in my old-fashioned kind of way, I would submit to you this. Don't marry a man that is not going to be the sole breadwinner. I think there's just something about it. And a man needs that in many ways, doesn't he? All right? And so there's a lot of truths we can learn. How many of you know the Bible is practical? Amen? And so Adam was given a job before he was given a wife. And going on in our notes here, letter B, due to the fall, work became a drudgery instead of a delight. And we understand that. We've seen that in Genesis 3. It depicts that very well. Now, going on with this, because I got a lot of things I want to give to you that I think will bless you today. Letter C, in Deuteronomy 28:8, we find that for God's people, work can be a real blessing. We've read it. We've seen that. It can provide a sense of satisfaction. Christ has redeemed us from everything brought on us when Adam fell, which includes a job that's a curse, right? God doesn't want our jobs to be a curse to us. He wants our jobs to be a blessing to us. And as I said, it could be an attitude adjustment needs to be made. It could be you need to be believing God for another job. Whatever the case may be, you're going to have to find that out from God, right? All right, now, three facts here, letter D, three facts about God and your work. Number one, these are facts. God desires that we be blessed, happy, and prosperous in our work. I think that's clear from the scriptures that we read so far, and it's clear in other scriptures as well. And this does not mean, though, that you're going to enjoy every aspect of every job. Right? I mean, sometimes, you know, we find that people, they get a job and they were all excited about this job. They believed it was the will of God. They're excited about it. But then they end up having to do something that they don't like or deal with something they didn't like. You know, if you work a job, how many of you know there's going to be conflict to one extent or another, right? If you're working with other people, don't think just because God willed a job and you really felt like God was leading you, don't think that just because, you get there and after a period of time you're having trouble either with another person or with figuring out the work or whatever, don't think that it must not have been the will of God just because there's conflict or problems or difficulty. No, one reason you were hired is to help solve problems oftentimes. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? I mean, you know, people think, you know, sometimes they, you know, people, especially when I was younger, I remember people think, I never really thought this, I don't think, but people thought, well, I just want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher because all they see is this part. All they see is the teaching and the preaching of the word. They don't see the counseling. They don't see the dealing with people's problems. They don't see the hate mail sometimes. They don't see all the other issues that really take up more time than this part that I'm doing this morning. You understand what I'm saying? You know, funerals, especially the funerals of young people, very difficult and stressful and whatever. And so not everything about any job is going to be desirable or pleasing or anything else. But don't think that you're ever going to find that kind of job. There's always going to be something about it you don't like. Are you getting anything out of this? All right. Now, let's go on here and see some other things. All right. Again, with this, again, three facts about God's work or the God and your work. Number two, God desires that we be promoted in our work. I believe God is a promoting kind of God. And when I wrote that, I thought to myself, how about Joseph? Now, there's nobody here probably that had the situation that Joseph had. And if you remember the story of Joseph, you remember Joseph was his father Jacob's favorite son. And his other brothers hated him because of that. And so they sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites or the Midianites, both words and the roots are similar in that. All right. So the Ishmaelites, Midianites, eventually he ended up in a fellow's house called Potiphar. And he got promoted in that house. He was a slave. He was a servant, but yet he got promoted to be the top servant. And so he was promoted even in a situation of slavery. Joseph was promoted because the favor of God was upon him, right? And then, of course, over a course of time and whatever, Potiphar's wife got wacky and tried to seduce him or whatever. And Joseph kept refusing and he fled, left his jacket behind. And she accused him of trying to rape him and all these other things. And so he got thrown into prison. I mean, you know, first he's a slave after having been thrown in a pit. And then he was a slave. And now everything's going good. Things are looking hunky-dory. He's the top servant in his master's house. And now somebody lies about him and gets thrown into prison. But yet you never hear Joseph complain. You never hear Joseph even getting depressed or down. Joseph had a relationship with God, didn't he? Amen. And even in prison, and I don't think anybody here probably, at least at this point in time, you're not because you are here. You're not in prison. So, you know, that's a pretty bad place to be, and probably none of us have been there. Slavery, certainly not. Prison, probably not. But yet, even in prison, he was promoted. Until finally, as he stayed true to God, he got out of prison, ended up second man only to Pharaoh, which was the most powerful country, nation in the entire world of that day. And God had sent him forth and ahead of time in order to preserve Israel, because Israel needed to be preserved, because through Israel, the Messiah was going to come. Isn't that right? Everybody hear what I'm saying? So in the worst of conditions in the natural, Joseph continued to be promoted as he continued to stay true to God and his heart pure before the Lord. I believe our covenant is better. I believe if we stay true to God and continue his word, no matter what the circumstance and situation, a promotion day is coming one way or the other. Amen? Your promotion may not be in your current job. God may promote you to another job, but either way, it's a higher realm to be in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is everybody doing all right today? All right. And so, again, God desires that we be promoted in our work. Number three, God desires that we find fulfillment and satisfaction in our work. Amen. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1 quickly. I don't have any PowerPoint for you today because I didn't think it was necessary really this morning. But in Jeremiah, if you turn there real quickly, if you can. Jeremiah chapter 1. Roman numeral number 4 in your notes says this: God has a specific work for everyone. You believe that, right? He has a specific work for everyone. Now, you may not feel you're in that ultimate place right now, but that's okay. I'll tell you, in many ways, God prepared me to pastor by other things I did before that. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? And certainly the case with my wife as well. God prepared her to be the pastor's wife and in many ways the administrator of the church by other things that she did, like as a legal secretary and things that she did along that line, whatever. So it doesn't matter what we're doing right now. God may be preparing you for something else. Don't get discouraged in what you're doing now. Look at it as training and equipping for something greater God's got for you. Just believe him for that. Amen? Now in Jeremiah chapter 1, notice it says, we'll just read this part, Jeremiah the prophet's being encouraged by the Lord. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now going back to our notes, notice what it says, letter A under Roman numeral number 4. God knew Jeremiah before he was born and had a plan for his life ahead of time. I want you to know, same thing is true of you. God knew you before you were born. If it was true, Jeremiah, God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't show partiality. God just knows. How many of you know he's all-knowing, right? And so he knew you ahead of time as well. And so therefore, we must understand that he has a plan for your life. And that doesn't mean every wicked and evil thing that's happened in your life was part of God's plan. Absolutely not. But he has a perfect plan. You know, sometimes we get off, if we're, you know, following a map on a journey, you know, we might get off course and what have you. And you know, if we get off course, that's our fault in many respects. But you know, what matters is we get back on the right plan and the right path for that journey, right? And the same thing holds true in our life. God's got a map and he's got it all spelled out one way or the other. It may be just one step at a time. Might be, how many of you ever, with AAA, you got a triptych? Anybody ever get a triptych with AAA? And you know, it doesn't show you necessarily the whole journey at once, but it shows you one page at a time. So you go from A to B on that page, then you go to the next page and go from A to B, and eventually you get to where you need to go. And that's similar to the way God does things. He doesn't show you the whole picture. It'd probably scare you. But he shows you one page at a time, if you will, to show you the journey from A to B. Where do you go now? What do you do now? Be led by his Spirit in that way. Amen? All right, and there's things I'll show you real quickly today as to how to be led by his Spirit. We won't have a lot of time on that, but letter B, David was aware as well of the Lord having a plan for his life before he was born. Psalm 139 and verses 13 through 16 makes that very clear. I won't turn there, but it says concerning that David was seen by God when he was an embryo in his mother's womb. That all the days of his life were written before they ever took place. Again, indicating that God has a plan, same for you and for me. You know, when I was a kid, I always had this sense that God had a plan for me. Even when I didn't really know God. I mean, when I was a young kid. You know, kids, before they reach a certain age, they seem to have, in general, a sensitivity to the things of God, even though they may not know him, per se. But there's something about, there's a sense that God is out there and that you are there for a reason. I think all of us are born with a sense that we're here for a reason. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? We have this sense, and maybe over the years, you know, through wounds or circumstances of life, we lose that sense of purpose. Yet, if we can remember back to when we were children, there was a sense that I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. And it may not be a real dramatic thing like a lot of people think. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't mean you're going to be a scientist that solves brings the cure for cancer or anything like that. But you're here for a purpose, whatever it might be. God has a purpose for all of us. And we all have that sense. I think it's safe to say. I know I didn't. I think everyone does. When they're children especially. But after a while, we get older and that wears off at times, doesn't it? But I remember as a child having this sense that God had a plan for me and a desire in my heart to fulfill whatever plan that was. And I had in my mind a certain way to fulfill that plan. I knew I needed to serve God. I had that in my heart even before really getting saved. I got saved at 12. Really the event of my grandfather's death. It really provoked me to seek God. And I was very close to my grandfather. And he and I had a lot of things in common as far as hunting and fishing and things. And that was devastating for me. It caused me to reach out to God. And as time went on, I knew I wanted to serve God, but I didn't know how. And so I had my own plans. And even though the plans were pure in terms of wanting to serve God, it was the wrong direction. But you know what? Because I had this idea, this thing in me that said, I got to serve God. When he finally showed me the real plan he had, it was easy to just turn in that direction and go that way because my heart's desire was to fulfill his plan for my life. Amen? And everyone, no matter what age we are, we need not be thinking, what am I going to do with my life? What do I want to do with my life? We ought to be thinking, what does God want me to do with my life? And be open to whatever it might be. It might be totally out there where you would never go before. But God has a way of doing it. If God calls you, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what career it is, God can use you in virtually any career, as long, obviously, it's not some kind of sinful thing or illegal thing. God can use you in any area if you'll submit to him. How many of you know every career, every calling, if you will, to one extent or another, can be a field of harvest that God's sending you into, right? Are you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Amen? All right, and so these things, are things that are really strong in my heart. All right, now going on with letter C here. God, or Paul's prayers for the saints, the believers, clearly indicate that God has a purpose. He prayed the following prayers. We won't turn there for time's sake, that we would not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You ought to pray for that for yourself. Parents ought to pray that for their children, that your children. This is a prayer from Ephesians chapter 5, that they would come to a place where they would have a knowledge of God's will for their lives. Also in Colossians 1, to be filled with the knowledge of His will. And so Paul prayed that for the Colossians as well. And so indicating that, as it says in number 3, the fact that Paul prayed such prayers, and there are several others that he prayed, seems to indicate that the will of God is not automatic in our lives. Would you agree with me that the will of God being accomplished in our life is not necessarily automatic, right? We got to seek the Lord. We got to find out what He wants us to do. And I'm going to show you some things, practical things that you can do in order to help you know. All right, let's move on from there. Notice it says number 4 underneath this. What are practical keys to choosing a life's work or career? And this is for young people, but this is for old people as well. Because, you know, in our society, how many of you know that people change careers, right? I know, you know, I'm going to be 50 years old next year, and I thought, you know, 50, you know, maybe I should do something different. I mean, don't get concerned. All right, but maybe, you know, 50, you know, I've been doing the same thing for a long time. It'd be nice to do something different. And I found out that a lot of people at 50 start investigating other careers. And so this is not uncommon in our culture today, all right? And so notice what it says. As we look at our notes, lowercase a, understanding yourself is one of the first keys. I'm just sharing some practical things. Understanding yourself. How has God made you? You can ask yourself, how has God made you? Understanding yourself includes assessing your natural talents and abilities. Now, don't limit yourself by those, though. Because if I had limited myself by those, I couldn't talk in front of people. You know, most of you know my story. I couldn't have done that. I was never a people person. I was just an old, you know, farm kid, you know, that felt more comfortable in the woods by myself than anybody else, anything else, all right? So don't just limit that, but that's a good place to start. You hear what I'm saying? And so natural talents and abilities, physical, emotional, or mental limitations, aptitudes and personality type, are you artistic, are you a detailed person, etc.? You know, things like, what are you good at? Are you good at math? Are you good at science? Are you good at writing? Are you good at art? Whatever. If your child's good at art, you know, a parent sometimes might try to direct them and say, well, maybe you ought to look into graphic arts. Maybe you ought to look into graphic design or even architecture, whatever the case may be. You know, we're trying to direct them and guide them in those things based on a natural talent that they have. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? All right. And so, again, just some practical things. Interest, desires, passions is letter D. And passions is a big one for me. You know, a passion could be something that you get excited about, or a passion could be something that you get angered about, and you are called perhaps to one extent or another to solve that problem that angers you. You hear me? All right, and so a passion. You know, I want to encourage you, follow what gets you fired up. I'm talking about, you know, making sure that it's the will of God, which is the next step here, but follow what gets you going. I know that when I came to God and really got on fire when I was 17 years old and got filled with the Holy Spirit and whatever, I mean, I had acquired a new passion, and I knew that the truths from God's Word that I began to hear, I just had a fire in me to help other people know these things and to help them get excited about the things I was getting excited about. And so I followed that passion, you follow me? And so that doesn't necessarily mean everybody, obviously. But again, what is your passion? Begin to assess. Begin to take it to God in prayer. Begin to say, Father, I seem to have a passion, a desire, a longing to solve this problem or to help people in this area. I have a passion along that way. Help me with this, Father. What is it that you're directing me to do? Going on to lowercase, be understanding your world. After understanding yourself, understand your world. What are the needs of the world? Where could you make a significant contribution? A good thing to look at is, where are the needs? What does our nation need? What does your community need, etc.? Letter C, here's a good one for you. This is for anybody. This isn't just for young people. Research job choices that seem to fit you. Begin to look into them. And you know, today with the internet, it's easy to research things, isn't it? So begin to look at things. What does it entail, etc.? And then letter D, talk to people who are involved in those careers. Begin to talk to them. All right? You can't judge it, as I stated in here, you can't judge a career from the outside or the television version of the career. I remember when I was a kid, there were always cop shows on when I was a kid. I mean, we'll date myself. I already told you how old I was there. We had Starsky and Hutch. How many remember Starsky and Hutch, man? I mean, you had Starsky and Hutch. You had the Rookies. You had all sorts of police type of things, you know. And every other kid in school wanted to be a cop, you know. You know, it's hard to find. I've known a few police officers in my life, and a lot of them are not very happy people. They need God. Many of them do. Others I know that are. I know a detective that is born again, thank God, and another fellow who is as well. You know him if I mention him and what have you. But the whole thing with this is they judged what a cop was based on a television show. You can't do that. Right? You end up getting into something that you weren't cut out for, all right? And so talk to people that are involved. Here's some questions. Number one, some questions that you can ask yourself. Why do you choose this field? You ask the other person in that field, why did you choose it? How did you prepare yourself for this? What do you dislike about it? There's a big one. What do you like about it? Not only dislike, but what do you like about it? And then what advice would you give me if I would like to enter this field? Their advice might be, whatever you do, don't get into this field. And many of you are aware, you know, my desire before God got a hold of me was I was going to be a forest ranger. I was accepted into SUNY's college there of environmental science and forestry. I mean, I was going to be a forest ranger and everything else. Now, 30 plus years later, I'm glad I didn't become a forest ranger. And one of the main reasons why is because back then we didn't have all this environmental things going on and all of this stuff that brings in politics. And I know me, I would have hated being one because of all the politics that has come into that since then. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? And how many of you know there's a lot of it now, isn't there? Especially New York State. And so God knows everything, right? He knew what 30 plus years later would be like, and he knows you better than you know you, and he knows what your future will hold, and he knows what you are cut out for and what he's going to cut you out for in Jesus' name. All right, now, the last thing in this letter E, lowercase e, ask God for guidance and peace. And Colossians 3, we'll go there quickly. I'm going to go through these final things fairly quick, so don't get nervous. You think, boy, he's got a lot of notes left. Don't get nervous. Everything's going to be fine. But look at Colossians chapter 3. I pray that this is practical. I believe the Bible's practical, don't you? Colossians, notice here, chapter 3. And we read this. And again, this is going to be a little bit of a help to you, I pray, concerning how to know and recognize the guidance of the Lord, of the wisdom of God. It says in Colossians 3, beginning with verse 14, it says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Notice verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart." The peace of God, that meaning has the idea, let it be the discerner. Let it be the thing that helps you discern. That peace of God, let the peace of God rule or reign. One translation says, act as an umpire. How many of you know an umpire makes a decision over a play? Isn't that right? And so let the peace of God help you make a decision, if you will, in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And so many times, in order to determine the will of God, the plan of God, is as you're in prayers, you're seeking God about it, you follow God's peace. And I can't tell you how many times, a lot of times, it's more following where you don't have peace, to be honest with you. In the areas of this church, for example, I have been led more by where I determined I don't have peace about something more than I have whether I had peace about something, because I seem to have that as an indicator more so. In other words, you know, when it came to buying another couple of buildings that we looked at for this church, I didn't go by having a peace. I went by I didn't have peace. But then when we came here, I had peace. And so I had this idea, and of course it's proven itself out 8 years later almost, that this was the plan of God. This was what God wanted us to do. Amen? And so go by that peace or lack of peace, and determining the direction is one of the ways that you do it. But you go by that not just you know, when you're just going along life. I'm talking about when you're praying, when you're seeking the Lord. Even during times of worship, I believe that as we gather together in church and worship God, that's a prime opportunity for you to get direction. Because in theory, you're getting your mind off all that stuff out there, work, relationships, and you're getting your mind on Him. And by doing so, you're getting rid of some clutter that might be stopping up the pipe of communication between you and God. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. You can get some information and some wisdom from God. Don't listen for a voice, but you'll have a knower. Your knower on the inside. You'll know one way or the other. Amen. As you trust Him in that. Now, Roman numeral number 5, biblical principles for being a success at work. Now, this is going to be things for everybody. And some of these things I'll turn to. I want you to turn, if you will, first to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Everybody's doing good? Yeah. It's early yet. It's early yet. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And your notes say verse 19, but we're going to start with verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning with verse 18. I wanted you to see this passage because I'm not going to have a lift of your hands. I'm not going to have you lift your hands, but just think about when the last time was you read the book of Ecclesiastes. I won't have you raise your hand. But then it could be indicated by whether or not some of those pages are still stuck together when you went there just now, all right? But in any case, that's why I wanted you to turn there, because this is good. Notice verse 18 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man, verse 19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Verse 20, for he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. I love that passage, don't you? Now notice, now going back to your notes then, letter A, based on that, accept work. We're talking about biblical principles for being a success at work. Accept work as God's gift, not as God's punishment. He said it's a gift of God. It's a joy as you act that way, as you believe God for that. And a lot has to do, again, maybe we need to make adjustments and begin to see the joy of it. Begin to look at it with joy. Begin to approach it with joy. And when that happens, it changes the environment around you as you work. Amen? All right? And so accept God's work, or accept work as God's gift, not God's punishment, because indeed it really is. Letter B, recognize that no matter what you're doing, you're working for God. Now I want you to look at Ephesians as well. We won't be looking at all these verses, don't worry. But look at Ephesians. After 2 Corinthians, you've got Galatians, then Ephesians, a gas electric phone company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? And so we got Ephesians chapter 6. And notice now, beginning with verse 5, Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Now, he's referring here in comparing bondservants to masters, but we could include the concept, it still applies, of employee and employer, right? And so notice in verse 5, Ephesians 6, bondservants will say what? Employees, be obedient to those of your masters or the employers, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants or employees then, employees of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing services to the Lord and not to man. What's he saying? When you're working, look at it like you're working as unto the Lord. You're working for him, no matter who you're working for out here, right? Even by doing that, that's going to cause an adjustment in your attitude, right? And you're doing it before God. And God is a greater rewarder than any man, isn't he? Amen? And so I would submit to you this idea that when you have that attitude that you're working for the Lord, then praise God, you'll depend more on him for promotion and provision and all of those things than you will for the person that you're working for. And God will see to it when your attitude's right that all those other things will take place in time. All right? A faithful man will abound with blessings, right? And so be faithful. And going on in verse 8, it says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave, whether he is an employee or an employer. Whatever good anyone does, he'll receive the same from the Lord. So he's saying that when you do this as unto the Lord, you're going to receive from the Lord. It's a promise to stand on. Amen? It's a promise to stand on. There's more things than that. We won't take time for it. But going back then to our notes, letter C. Under Roman numeral number 5, once you've found out what you're good at, do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your heart. Letter D. Learn everything possible about your work. Learn everything possible about your work, right? Amen. I mean, do other things. I mean, even now, you know, I've been pastoring for 18 years and been in the ministry most of my adult life, but I'm still taking Bible college courses because I want to learn everything I possibly can. I want to grow. I want to learn. Amen. And that should be the case with all of us. Learn everything you can about your work. Letter E, don't be a time thief. Don't be a time thief. Ephesians 5:16 talks about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Use the time wisely. Don't be a time thief. And I've got something here for everybody. Don't preach to people when you should be working. A lot of Christians are guilty of that, aren't they? Don't preach to people when you're supposed to be working. The most effective witnessing you'll ever do on the job is living out your Christianity and working hard. I always tried. I always tried to be the best worker of the whole bunch. I remember when I was going to Bible school, I worked for a landscaping crew. And you know, I was younger then. That's hard work. Thank God, because now I don't know if I'd be able to do it. But I worked for a landscaping crew, and because they could trust me, because they, saw that I worked hard and whatever, and I didn't do it. I didn't preach. If somebody asked me a question, I might answer the question. But I didn't preach to them. I just tried to set the example. And you know what? Eventually, the owner and the boss, he promoted me so that I was over a team of guys that would go to a site in order to do the landscaping and prepare the ground, all those various things. So, there's promotion as we attempt to just be a witness and be the best worker we possibly can because we're doing it for Him. Amen? Yeah. And so I just share that not to try to build me up. I'm just sharing that to let you know that I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching what I practiced. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, then go on with this letter F. Keep a daily need-to-do list and establish priorities. Good for everybody to do that to one degree or another. Letter G, ask God for wisdom. We've already said that. God is a problem solver. Ask for wisdom in your job. Ask God how to accomplish that task. Include God in your employment. A lot of times we separate church and our spiritual life from our employment. Well, I'll put it all together. I know of a brother who believed God, and he actually came up with God-given inventions that helped his company have new ways of doing things. And because of that, he got promoted, obviously. Isn't that right? Because he believed God for ideas. Believe God for ideas. Whatever work you have, believe God for an idea that's going to help your employer. And praise God, God may use that, and you'll get promoted because your employer sees you're valuable. Amen? All right? And so believe God for that. Be a problem solver as you get God's solutions from Him in wisdom. Amen? Letter H, use criticism to your advantage. Use criticism to your advantage. It says in Proverbs 13:8, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. You know, I try to do that as well. I remember years ago, this young preacher, this is the way I looked at it. You know, I preached for him. He's a pastor, and I'd been preaching longer than him. You know how pride can get in there if you're not careful. And afterwards, he tried to give me some advice about my preaching. And boy, I'll tell you, I didn't receive it too well. At first, I got mad. But then the Holy Spirit got on me. And you know, he said to me, you know what? He shared that with you because he loves you. And I got thinking, you know, that's right. I needed to hear that. That young fellow, he was right. And I received that by faith, and I tried to adjust that, make that adjustment. You know, we can always learn how to do things better. And so when we're criticized, let's not use it as an opportunity to be offended. Let's use an opportunity to learn. Amen? An opportunity to learn. People have told me over the years, well, you talk too fast. So I know none of you believe it. I've tried to slow down. And I receive that. I know I go too fast sometimes. So I try to slow down. Amen? And so let's use criticism to our advantage. Letter I, be honest about your mistakes. On the job, don't lie. Be honest about your mistakes. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And so be honest about your mistakes. Letter J, be quick to ask for help and information when needed. There's no dumb question. Amen? I mean, there's no... When we're secure in who we are, how many of you know when you're secure in who you are, you can ask any question. You don't care whether think you're dumb or not. Isn't that right? You may even preface it by saying, this may be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Amen? All right. So whatever. You know, when you're secure in who you are, you can ask questions that you think might be dumb to them, but ask it anyway because you don't care. You know who you are. Amen? All right. Then going on with this. Letter K, always be willing to help others on your job. Help other employees. Help them to get ahead. Help them with their work. Proverbs 3:27, don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. A lot of times there's all this competition at work and whatever, and I found out that the best thing to do is just help everybody else along. Amen? I remember when we first started the church, this is just a little indirect, but it's a similar type of thing. I remember when we first started the church, there was another pastor in the city. You could tell that he was nervous, you know. And he had, whenever I was around him, I felt he was competing with me. Has anybody been around people you felt, well, they're competing with you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And, you know, if you're not careful, that'll jump on you. But I refuse to let it jump on me. I refuse to let it jump on. I'm not competing with anybody in terms of another church. I'm competing with the bars and baseball games and whatever else may go on Sunday mornings, et cetera, and draw people away from the things of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right? And so that's all. But you know what I did in order to break that so that I made sure that I was not going to be in an attitude of competition? I began to give him help. I began to give him resources that I had found out. I gave him a couple of books, manuals that I use for discipling people. And I began to say, you know, whatever I have, if I can be of any help to you, I want to be a help to you. And you know, that broke that, praise God. Amen? Amen. I encourage you with that. You know, don't get that competitive spirit that says, well, I'm not going to help anybody else because I want to get ahead. No, help everybody because you'll reap what you sow. Isn't that right? Letter L, do not spread gossip. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, aren't they? Right? Yeah. Letter M, here's one, we're almost done. Always attempt to do more than what is expected of you. Matthew 5:41, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Right? Do more than what's expected of you. Then letter N, remember Jesus is always watching, even if the boss isn't. And putting that together, what we already said, you realize that you're working for Jesus and he's watching even when the boss is not there. Amen? You can put your notes away, but don't put your Bibles away. I want you to turn one last scripture, Colossians. You get anxious, man. I see you folding those notes up. Colossians, real quick, chapter 3. Verse 22. Colossians 3 and verse 22. Very similar to what we saw in Ephesians, but I want to add a few thoughts here. Colossians 3 verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And so we do these things in reverence of God. And whatever you do, here it is. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, do heartily, or with all your heart, with all your passion, do it as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that, verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you on this Labor Day weekend that when you work with all your heart. When you work with the idea you're working for Jesus. Amen. No matter what your employment is, no matter what your career is, no matter what you're doing, if it's flipping burgers, you're doing it for Jesus. Amen. And he promises there'll be a reward for that faithfulness and that hard work. He has that promise for you and me today. Amen. Amen. Now, before we end this, we're going to offer prayer for people, but I want you to watch this short clip up on the big screen and be blessed by that. Hopefully it won't go so fast that you can't read everything that's on there. But let's look at this and watch this for a minute. Amen. Praise God. Sorry it didn't all fit on there. That's never happened before. Would you stand with me in the worship team if you'd come? I'd like to ask Josh Hughes to come down. I don't know if Maria is there with you, but she's welcome to come as well. And if you're in need of prayer for these following reasons especially, maybe you've been looking for a job and you need a job. We want to pray with you. It's God's will that you have a job. Amen. Maybe you need a job. I'm going to ask Raphael and Rosie, would you pray for people to come? Do you have time to pray for people? Amen. I know you know how to pray. Amen. And so if you need a job, come down and be prayed for. If you need another job, you got one. And let me just give you this. Don't quit the one you got till you got another one, please. Right? Amen? Amen. All right. And say, I'm going to quit my job by faith. No, it's foolish, not faith. And so, you know, get another one first, all right? And give them 2 weeks' notice at least, right? Be good. Be good about that, right? And so, you know, if you need a job, if you need a different job or you feel that you do, maybe you need to have wisdom and help in guidance as to what kind of work you want to go into, what kind of career, what kind of education you need to get, whatever area concerning work, we want to offer this in prayer. And so as the worship team plays and sings, if that applies to you, let's pray for people today. And the service is not over. We're going to give another invitation. But let's just pray for whoever might need a job or need a different one or needs wisdom for the future as to what God may be wanting them to do in their life. And so if that's you, come on up. Let's pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, it's September. A lot of kids going back to school right now. And so, you know, a lot of young people maybe need prayer concerning that. Maybe, again, as I said, older people wanting to start another career. Or maybe you just need prayer for your job. Maybe you're struggling with your work and you need prayer. We want to pray with you about that as well. If you're struggling with your job and you need prayer, you need help with some things pertaining to your job, we want to pray for you as well. Amen. And all of you out there, you can worship God or you can help us pray for people. You may not know exactly what their need is, but you can just pray for people as you see us praying and just believe God for them. Pray one for another, the Bible says. Amen. Amen. And so let's just pray for people. And again, we're going to give another invitation at the end before we close the service.